ओम नमो भगवते वासुदेवाय is that the Supreme Personality of God does not wish to create this material world, just to inflict suffering on living entities. The Supreme Lord creates this world only because the conditioned souls want to enjoy it. The workings of nature are not going on automatically. It is only because the Lord lends sovereign material energy that it acts in wonderful ways, just as a lodestone causes a piece of iron to move here and there. Because materialistic scientists and so-called Samkhya philosophers do not believe in God, they think that material nature is working without supervision. But that is not the fact. In Chaitanya Charitamrita, Adi 6.18.19, the creation of the material world is explained as follows. Atheistic Samkhya philosophers think that the total material energy causes the cosmic manifestation, but they are wrong. That matter has no moving power, and therefore it cannot act independently. The Lord infuses the material ingredients with His own creative potency. Then, by the power of the Lord, matter moves and interacts. Sea waves are moved by the air. The air is created from ether. The ether is produced by the agitation of the three modes of material nature. And the three modes of material nature interact due to the Supreme Lord's glance over the total material energy. Therefore, the background of all natural occurrences is the Supreme Personality of Godhead, as confirmed in Bhagavad Gita. This is also further explained in Chaitanya Charitamrita, Adi 5:59-61. Jagat karana nahi prakriti yada rupa shakti sancharya hari krishna kare kripa krishna satya prakriti haya gauna karana api shakya lava yachi kare jarana ataiva krishna mula jagat karana prakriti karana yache aya galastana. Because prakriti, material nature, is dull and inert, it cannot actually be the cause of the material world. What Krishna sows is mercy by infusing his energy into the dull, inert material nature. Thus, Prakriti, by the energy of Lord Krishna, becomes the secondary cause. Just as iron becomes red hot by the energy of fire. Therefore, Lord Krishna is the original cause of the cosmic manifestation. Prakriti is like the nipples on the neck of a goat, for they cannot give any milk. Thus, it is a great mistake on the part of the material scientists and philosophers to think that matter moves independently. Om Ajnana Timarangasya Gnanjana Salakya Chakshur Militam Yena Tasmai Shri Gurave Namaha Sri Chaitanya Manovistam Sthapitam Yena Bhutale Swayam Rupa Kadamayam Dadati Swaparantikam Vandeham Sri Guru Sri Yuta Padakamalam Sri Gurum Vaishnavamscha Sri Rupam Sagrajatam Sagnaramatam Itam Tam Sajivam Sadvaitam Savadhutam Parijana Jintam Sri Krishna Chaitanya Devam Sri Radha Krishna Padam Sagnaramita Sri Shamitam Scha Hey Krishna Karuna Sindhu Dina Bandho Jagatpate Gopisha Gopika Kanta Rara Kanta Mosute Tapta Kancha Nagorangi Rare Vrinda Nishari Vishabhado Sudadevi Pranami Hari Priye Mancha Kalpa Trubhyascha Kripa Sindhu Yarevacha Patitanam Pavanevyo Vaishnavevyo Namo Namaha Shri Krishna Chaitanya Prabhu Chandra
Nanda, Sri Advaita Gadadhara, Sri Vasari, Gaura Bhakta Vrinda, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare, Sriman Rasa Rasa Rambi, Bhamshivata Dastita, Randenu Svanar Gopir, Gopinath Shiestunaha. Srila Gopinath originated the transcendental mellow of the Rasa dance, stands on the shore in Vansivad and attracts the attention of the coward damsels with the sound of a celebrated flute. May they all confer upon us their benediction. Hari Om Tatsat. So, Unam Karma Sakshine, the witness of the actions and reactions of material nature. This is a name of Paradev. Am I right? Yeah, we're still reading the chapter, almost at the end, the residence of Jamadvip over prayers. So, this is an amazing book, Srimad Bhagavatam. And here Sukadeva Goswami, he is speaking to the king, we can say our king, the grandson of Arjuna, Parikshit. And Parikshit, he was cursed by a boy, Brahmin boy, son of a Brahmin. Not really a Brahmin boy, because he shouldn't have cursed him. That was not very ecumenical. He was the son of a Brahmin. And he had 7 days to live. And so he asked Sukadeva Goswami, what should we listen to when we are about to leave our body? So then Sukadeva Goswami started to recite the Srimad Bhagavatam. Also wanted to share with you, because we're at the end of the chapter, what Prabhupada says about this chapter. I won't read everything, but I'll read a little bit. Well, let me just read the last paragraph of the summary. All the information in this chapter can be fully realized by one who associates with devotees of the Lord. Therefore, in the Shastra, it is recommended that one associate with devotees. This is better than residing on the banks of the Ganges. In the hearts of pure devotees, reside all good sentiments as well as all the superior qualities of the demigods. In the hearts of non-devotees, however, there cannot be any good qualities, for such people are simply enchanted by the external illusory energy of the Lord. Following in the footsteps of devotees, one should know that the Supreme Personality of Godhead is the only worshipable deity. Everyone should accept this proposal and worship the Lord. As stated in Bhagavad Gita 15:15, the purpose of studying all Vedic literature is to worship the Supreme Personality of Godhead, Krishna. If, after studying all the Vedic literature, one does not awaken his dormant love for the Supreme Lord, it is to be understood that he has labored for nothing. He has simply wasted his time. Lacking attachment for the Supreme Personality of Godhead, he remains attached to family life in his material world. Thus, the lesson of this chapter is that one should get out of family life and completely take shelter of the lotus feet of the Lord. Does anybody remember that verse from Narayana? Useless waste of time. Yeah, from Srimad Bhagavatam. Prabhupada says that the one who does not awaken his dormant love for the Supreme Lord, it is to be understood that he has labored for nothing. He has simply wasted his time. Anyway, the point is of this chapter is that we should get out of family life and completely take shelter of the lotus feet of the Lord. Like I said many times, sannyas is not an option. We all must take sannyas, even the ladies. They become like very austere widows, like sannyas. Yeah, so these are the prayers of the residents of Jambudvip. Jambudvip is, what I understand from Saraputta's teaching and from Balaram, it's a disk in the middle of the universe. And it's a subtle disk, you can't really see it with normal eyes, like ghosts or your mind, you can't really see your mind, or even the ether or the wind, you cannot see the wind, but you can feel it. Or sometimes, you know, I gave the example of Barack Obama. I don't think anybody here has ever seen Barack Obama, but we know he exists because we've watched the news, or, you know, we read a newspaper or the internet. So many things you haven't seen, but they're there. So similarly, this Jambudvip is existing, and the Earth planet is situated on the Himalaya mountains. There's also a subtle region of Himalaya mountains on Jambudvip, and they're like 70,000 miles high, and the Earth is situated somewhere around there. And so there's different islands. Jambudvip means island. So there's different islands on the, it's actually the Bhumandal. And Jambudvip is, I think, mainly in the middle of that. So there's different islands there, and so we've heard all the prayers of the different residents there. I think before this was Matsya, and we also have Cupid. Cupid is also an incarnation of God. It's Prajuna, right? Cupid. Prajuna, right? Yeah. So, Prajuna is also an expansion actually of Krishna. It's a little bit, you know, difficult to understand these things. Like we also discussed about Shiva, you have Sadashiva, and then you have Shiva, and you have the Rudras, so many expansions. It's, you know, to Dharmaha explains, it's similarly one and different. Yeah, so we're almost at the end. There's one more, actually, this is the end, no? So I should also read the last verse, because otherwise I probably get going to get skipped. So I'll just also read that. Pramatya dejam pravitavaranam ride yomam rasaya jagat ari sukharaha kritva kri damstre niragat unam vataha ridan iverbha pranathasmitam vibhum miti. Translation. My Lord, as the original boar within this universe, you fought and killed the great demon Hiranyaksha. Then you lifted me, the earth, from the Garbhodaka ocean on the end of your tusk, exactly as a sporting elephant plucks a lotus flower from the water. I bow down before you. Yeah, so the word here is a mam. Mam is referred to here as the earth or bhumi. So it's my understanding, because Sukadeva Goswami also very clearly gives a description of Jambudvip, and he says that it's like a lotus flower. Remember that? Right? Remember? It's like a lotus flower. So that is also the example that has been given here. I don't see it in the word for word. But that's anyway how Prabhupada translates it, that you lifted the earth, which is my understanding, it's Jambudvip, or maybe even Bhumandal, from the Garbhodaka ocean on the end of your tusk, exactly as a sporting elephant plucks a lotus flower from the water, I bow down before you. It is my understanding that it was Jambudvip that fell down to the earth. Sometimes it's a little bit controversial because there's different yugas, and sometimes different yugas there's different pastimes. But this is at least my understanding. Sometimes these things are a little bit confusing because this is how Sariputta explains it. That I explained it also in Bhagavad Gita class. It's like there are different layers. Like India is also, it's like a blueprint of the universe. Like the Ganges, I think it's like, I'm not exactly sure, but Sariputta explains it like that. So there's like different layers. Like for instance, you have a tree and it's shaped in a certain way. And if you look at the leaf is shaped in the same way as the tree. So like that there's layers. So you have the earth, then you have the solar system, and then you have, you know, like that. So sometimes it gets a little bit confusing because they speak about one thing and it's like sometimes it's about layers. So it can get a little bit confusing. Anyway, it's my understanding that here they're speaking about Lord Bhor, Varahadev, picking up the Jambudvipa or Pumando from the Garbhodaka ocean. Anyway, so these are prayers, very nice prayers by these residents. And it's a meditation. And like I said, Guna Karma Sakshine. So I'm personally pretty amazed by the devotion of these residents, or we can say devotees, because it's on the same plane as us. And Prabhupada also mentions that it's still going on. So it's going on right now. The devotees are there. It's like, it's another dimension, but for me it's a little bit hard to picture it, because this planet Earth is so degraded, and it's practically the same area. So, but that's my understanding, that it is actually still going on. It's like, it's almost like heavenly planets. It's like something's called subterranean heavenly planets. It's considered earthly planets, or earthly plane, I should say. Still, it's like, it's like heavenly planets. There's also descriptions of gardens and like that, very, very beautiful. Like, you have the Himalayas and what is that country in Pakistan? They're fighting about. It's also called heaven sometimes. Kashmir. It's very, very beautiful there. It's like heavenly planets. So these areas are even more beautiful. So I'll read it again. O Lord, you do not desire the creation, maintenance, or annihilation of this material world, but you perform these activities for the conditioned souls by your creative energy. Exactly as a piece of iron moves under the influence of a lodestone, inert matter moves when you glance over the total material energy. So a lodestone is like a magnetic stone. That is the example that is given here. Prabhupada quotes some other verses. There's other examples. One of the most graphic examples for me, at least, is of course the goat with the nipples. We all know, right? Goat, these nipples here. So sometimes other animals they think something can get some milk, but it's not possible, of course. So that is what the Chaitanya Charitamrita gives as an example. It says, Deva Krishna Mula Jagat Karana Prakriti Karaniya Cha Adi Galasthana. That Galasthana, I think, is this god's neck. Therefore, Lord Krishna is the original cause of the cosmic manifestation. Prakriti is like the nipples on the neck of a god, for they cannot give any milk. So one thing I also noticed here from the Chaitanya Charitamrita, it said Lord Krishna shows his mercy by infusing his energy into the dull, inert, material nature. So we have to be careful, because let's be honest, we have all been, or most of us, materialists. And materialists, they think that matter is dead. And in one sense, it is dead. But in another sense, really nothing is dead, because it's the energy of the Lord. So what Prabhupada says here, dull, dull. It is not dead. It is dull. Inert. Inert means it doesn't move. You see, it's not dead. You know? Because that is another thing. The karmis think, oh, you're dead. Finished. But you're not finished. The body is finished. But even the body is not really finished. Because, you know, it's eaten by worms, like that. Like you burn it, it comes into smoke and ashes. It transforms. Material nature is eternal. It transforms. But it's considered, sometimes we say dead, for lack of a better word. But we as a Western kind of mindset, our connotation with the word dead is that it's dead. And there's, in one sense, there's really no such thing. So here, dull, inert, material nature. That's how it's described. So these are all words, and we have to try to understand what it means. This is actually, Anantarupa is also giving this. This means discrimination. It is also a bad connotation, but this is knowledge. Discrimination, what is real and what is not real. What is matter and what is spirit. Also Plato, he understood this. This is real knowledge. What is temporary and what is eternal. So that we need to know. Prabhupada says that much knowledge. Actually Prabhupada says, because this is already a little bit like Samkhya, Prabhupada even simplifies it. He says, you should simply know how to please Lord Krishna. That much knowledge you should have. Actually you don't need more knowledge than that. Look at the gopis. That's all they know. How to please Lord Krishna. The shining example is Narada Muni begging for some lotus dust of the feet to different devotees for Lord Krishna because he had a headache. And nobody dared to give it because everybody considered Krishna senior, more advanced. Now he's so advanced and he cannot give. But the gopis, yes, take it. And then Narada Muni asked them, but are you not afraid to go to hell? Yes, we'll go to hell. Prabhupada explains it like that. We'll go to hell. Krishna can have a headache. So that much Prabhupada says, how to please Lord Krishna. And of course, Prabhupada explains it, and we sing every morning. I mean, you should sing every morning. if you can't make it to Mangalarti, try to still sing it. You know? Even if you just do it fast. Sangsara dava nalinadam tranayakavanya garagana. And then of course Yasha Prasada Bhagavad Prasada Yasha Prasada Nagati Gutopi, that you can get the mercy of Lord Krishna, or in this context you would say you know how to please Lord Krishna if you know how to please the spiritual master. This is called parampara. That it needs to be explained. And it needs to be tested. Like Tomasi was saying, it's good if you have some connection with the super soul, but you should always confirm it. Even as it's the understanding is that at some stage your Guru Maharaj leaves his body in the natural way of things. So then still you should take confirmation of senior Vaishnavas. And you can see this also in Chaitanya Charitamrita, that sometimes very, very senior Vaishnavas, they check certain things with other senior Vaishnavas. So this is the culture. Like we say in the beginning, Vande Ham Sri Guru, Sri Uttaparakamam, Sri Gurun Vaishnavascha. Guru means plural. There is many gurus. So you have one Diksha Guru, that is the beginning, Vande Ham Sri Guru, that is your Diksha Guru. And then the Gurun, that is all the other gurus. Guru, I explained the other day in Bhagavad-gita, Guru means teacher, spiritual master. A master in spiritual topics, this is how Sadhana explains it. One who knows the signs of Krishna, and in this context, one who knows how to please Krishna. This is explained in this verse, what we see in the morning. How the spiritual master is pleasing, he knows how to please. Krishna is a very confidential servant of the gopis. It's a short moment in time. Gopalim is coming up. It's a short moment in time. Chaitanya Mahaprabhu coming and the Sankara moment. It's like a glimpse. There's no such thing as repeating. like you and me were different. We're all brahmacharis, we all wear glasses, but we're different. There's Fishakis was saying that according to scientists, every snowflake is different. So it's just a short moment in time. Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, he came, and Prabhupada came, and he initiated his disciples. And it's a very confidential, when we discussed it the other day, we're in a very confidential parampara. Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, he is in our parampara. And he gives this information about the gopis, how to please Lord Krishna. And it's understood, it's a little bit, confidential knowledge, but it's understood that our acharyas are gopis, or actually manjaris. So we are a servant of the gopis. If you serve your spiritual master, you serve the gopis indirectly. So this is the secret of success. Yashoda Sharada Bhagavad Prasadam. You please your spiritual master, you please Lord Krishna. And these prayers are what they are. They're simply prayers. This is the point actually of the purport, which is a little bit hard to digest for me. I mean, you might all be devotees, but I feel like I'm a demon who's trying to be a devotee. And it's kind of tough to hear that the material world is made because of us. The Prabhupada says in the purport, he says that, let me just read it from the top. Sometimes the question arises, why the Supreme Lord has created this material world? This is a big question. So many times when you preach, this question comes up by intelligent critics, or not skeptics. Not critics, but skeptics, people. They are skeptics and they ask this question, which is so full of suffering for the living entities entrapped in it. This is the main cause for atheism. This is actually a side point that Janus Darwinism. And it was a very powerful theory, I think, at least at the time, because everything went better. You had the Middle Ages, and it went better and better and better. But after he was a kind of a lord, he was a very respectable gentleman. After Darwin, you had these world wars. And as soon as the First World War ended, even started, people lost their faith, because it was such a ghastly, horrible affair with... what is this gas they had? Mustard gas? I mean, you cannot imagine. And they had all these bombs, people's limbs were blown off. And then the Second World War, that was really the ultimate thing for the atheists. Then not everybody, but many people that lost their faith because of the suffering. It's explained that women that were praying, don't let my son die. And then their son died, and then they lost their faith because God didn't hear their prayers. So, but they didn't understand this principle. Prabhupada says the answer given herein is that the Supreme Personality of Godhead does not wish to create his material world just to inflict suffering on living entities. The Supreme Lord creates his world only because the conditioned souls want to enjoy it. So that is for the conditioned soul, which I am, this is a tough one. O Lord, the prayer goes, you do not desire the creation, maintenance, or annihilation of the material world, but you perform these activities for the conditioned souls by your creative energy. So this is, like I said, these are the residents of Jambudvip, and we are in the Brahma Sampradaya. Of course, I also noticed, I almost forgot, because I can't find it now so quickly, but there is, oh, here it is. Right. Om Namo Bhagavate Mantra Tattva Lingaya Yakya Kratave Maha Dvaravaya Vaya Maha Purushaya Nama Karma Suklaya Tri Yugaya Namaste. Tri Yugaya Namaste. You know what it means? Obeisances to the Tri Yugaya. You know what it is?
The one who is
one who appears in the three yugas. So here, the residents of Jambudvip, they know about Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. They know. Because otherwise, why would I say this? Because they know that Lord Krishna actually appears in three yugas. Right? Dwarpa Yuga, Lord Krishna, Treta Yuga, Ramachandra, and Satya Yuga. I forgot. Do you know? Anybody knows? Satya Yuga? No? No? Yuga Avatars? The Yuga Avatars? Krishna, right? Ramachandra? Matsya? 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 Satya Yuga? Matsya? I'm not sure. Anyway, we have to look it up for this. But it's not the point. The point is that these Yuga avatars, they come and they have their pastimes. And they have their passion to attract the devotees. Like Ramachandra is very popular in India. He's attracting all the devotees. Lord Krishna also, his name even needs all attractive. But Sita Mahaprabhu, he came in the form of a devotee. He was it's called Chana Avatar, right? Hidden Avatar. When devotees said that, you're the Supreme Personality of Godhead, like Advaita, and somebody said, he would go like this, Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, he would this. Close his own ears. So, but it's very interesting to know that these devotees that we're listening to, they're very advanced, and they even know about Sita Mahaprabhu. So, but anyway, the Supreme Lord creates this world only because the conditioned soul wants to enjoy it. So that is, like I said, that's a tough one. And that is actually the one half of the verse, and the other half, which is a little bit technical, I think we should more or less skip it. Exactly as a piece of iron moves under the influence of a lodestone, inert matter moves when you glance over the total material energy. That's the big part of the purport. Prabhupada explaining that like this lodestone means a magnetic stone. So iron by itself cannot really move, but by the magnetic stone it moves. So, and the other example is given by iron in the fire. This is a very good example because Prabhupada also gives the example for chanting, for becoming a devotee. Like we're covered over and we chant, we go into the fire of Krishna consciousness. Prabhupada gives the example that the gopis that went to Lord Krishna, and is considered in Vedic culture, because they were young girls, to be illicit, to be almost like a prostitute, to go into the forest and to meet a young boy. This is like, if people would find out, they would practically not be able anymore to be married. Because it was such a strict society, that would have been such a scandal. But Prabhupada explains, because it's Krishna, because it's Lord Krishna, Supreme Personality of Godhead, Ishvara Paramakrishna, or Rama says, Krishna is the Paramishvara, therefore it is suspicious. And he quotes that verse as also, in this context, it is quoted by Sukadeva Goswami, Teji Asina Doshina, something like that. I'm kind of paraphrasing. It means that one who is very powerful, he doesn't make any mistakes, or the mistakes are not considered. Like the sun, it can shine on urine, but it doesn't get contaminated. In fact, the urine gets evaporated. It gets cleaned in general. So similarly, because Prabhupada gives an example that even though it wasn't considered a sinful act, but because it was Lord Krishna, he kind of counteracted those sins. That's how Prabhupada explained it in that particular purport. So the reasoning Prabhupada makes is that if you connect with Krishna, then he can take away all those sins. That is also the example of the iron and the fire. So we're like a little bit dull, and we chant and we dance and we take prasadam, and like it said here, we associate with devotees. That is very, very important, like what we're doing right now. And then we become purified, Krishnaized, Prabhupada says it. And that is compared to the fire. So Krishna is the fire. And then the iron, and becomes like fire. Like if iron is hot enough and you would touch this piece of food, it would start to burn. And that's the idea. We become like, Guru Goswami says, we become like touchstone. We can also make others into Krishna conscious devotees. But we have to stay in the fire. Otherwise, the Prabhupada calls it joint mess. joint mass is like you you just eat and sleep and you work and you put some money together and you live in like, you know, the same house. This is a joint mass. So we should be careful that we don't become like that, you know. Prabhupada says 6 o'clock everybody stops, and at 7 everybody comes to the RT and, you know, discuss Prabhupada Gita. Or like we're doing now. You know, because it's difficult. If you work very hard and you go to bed late, then it's difficult to come to Bhagavatam class. So, you know, it's very important that we try to follow these programs as much as possible. That is what Srila Prabhupada stressed, that we stay in the fire. We've seen that I'm convinced personally that practically all the fall downs are because of this. That the devotees were not following these programs. They were not associating enough with devotees, with the Srila Prabhupada. It's so important. I'm mainly preaching to myself here. Don't take it too personal. You know, it's so important. So then Prabhupada also explains about the atheistic Sankhya philosophy. So, that is from the Chaitanya Charitamrita. So we don't have time to go into that. If you want, you can study those chapters. Adi 6, 8, these are prayers to, I looked it up. This is the advent of Advaitacharya, and that other verse about the goat's nipples is the advent of Lord Nityananda Prabhu. So these verses are from those sections in the Adi Lila, the first Lila from Chaitanya Charitamrita. So the point of the last part of the purport and the theme, actually, that is the last thing I want to stress. The theme of this chapter, besides from the fact that, you know, what I just said in the beginning, that we should actually become detached from family life, is this Maya Dakshena Prakriti Sudhate Sacharashana. Throughout the chapter, Prabhupada is quoting this verse from Bhagavad Gita 9, chapter 9, verse 10, I believe. So this verse, also you should know this verse, it's a very important verse. And I didn't have time to read the purport, but if you have time today, then you read that purport, chapter 9, verse 10. Because that is the point, that Krishna is in charge, and by his glance, it's very intricately explained in the purport, the modes, the three modes are working. It's explained, actually, Prabhupada says, the three modes of material nature interact due to the supreme glance over the total material energy. This is the pradhana. And it's explained that the Lord glances. It's sometimes also explained that he impregnates the living entities into the so-called material energy. And so, but it's not only that, because the super soul also is there. I mean, it's very intricate. That's why I'm saying that, you know, it's a very technical lecture. I'm talking about Jambudvip and I'm talking about the super soul. And Prabhupada says that much you know, how to please Krishna, like these devotees are doing here. They're just praying to Lord Varanadev, simple prayers. Not simple prayers, actually, very profound prayers. But the idea is that they are praying. That's the point. They're not really philosophizing, they're glorifying the Lord. So that much we should know. That is actually, because sometimes maybe it can become a little technical and I don't understand it. Ultimately, it's not important. What you need to understand is how to please Lord Krishna. I more or less explained it. That doesn't mean it's not important, especially for preaching. Especially for preaching, we need to know this. So the Supreme Lord, he kind of glances over the material energy, and the material energy, they move the three modes of material nature, and that's when the whole thing starts working. That's how Prabhupada explains it. Then the ether starts to move, then the wind starts to move, and then when the wind starts to move, then the waves of the water start to move, and then the whole thing starts to work. But it's also described, I think, that there is a wind between the planets. So I don't know exactly how it works, but we also know that, for instance, the moon makes the oceans move. The tides is because of the moon. And without that, it would simply be stale and it would get very, very polluted. It's polluted, but because of the tides, it's moving and therefore it gets clean. And because of the sun, you know, the water evaporates. It's like a system, it's like an amazing computer actually, amazing computer program. But like with the computer program, you need somebody to program and to press start. So similarly, this material world and this material body is like an amazing computer program by the Lord. And, you know, we should try and accept that it's for us. It's for us. Because sometimes, that's what it said here. Because someone said, yeah, he also wants to fight with demons and this and that. And, you know, sometimes I said, it's like a computer game. The Lord also wants to have his computer game. That is why there's the material world. But really, you know, the Lord is not around. He doesn't need it. It's for us. And because we want to enjoy independently. And that's why we need to chant Hare Krishna, serve our spiritual master, and you know, try to figure out how we can please Lord Krishna. And yeah, in general, the best way to do that is like Prabhupada says, what would you like to do for Krishna? Whatever comes natural. Like, you know, for me, you know, I can talk. It comes natural. So that is one of the reasons why I give class. It comes natural. Other people, they can really sing very well and play them down very well. You know, people really like gardening. Whatever comes natural. We'll give one last example. I was having a realization about kartas. Because, you know, generally kartas are, in one sense, the lowest. You know, the harmonium and the singer are most important. The singer is the most important, and then the harmonium, kind of, and then the mridanga. Mridanga follows the singer, and then the kartas kind of follow the mridanga. But if the kartas go off beat, then the whole thing is off key. So everything is important. But the singer is the most important, because without the singer, you know, there's nothing. Even if you have the greatest kartas, you know, there's nothing. So the brahmanas are the most important, but it doesn't mean that the other things are not important. So it needs to all work together. And everything needs to be respected. If somebody doesn't respect the karta player, the whole thing goes to, you know, to bits. So everything needs to be in order. But in that sense, in the spiritual world, there is no higher or lower. So this whole varnashram, you know, although there, in one sense there is a higher or lower, like the singer is the singer, he's the leader, but at the same time, they need to work together. So we all need to work together. That is a good ending, I think. So is there maybe any question or comment?
You raised this question. Well, no, you said as a fact, and people become atheists because of World War. I wonder how come they don't lose their faith in atheism by seeing World War, because they see what it leads to.
Well, Pranava, he explained that these people, I think they were called the evolutionists, because it wasn't only Darwin. Later, some other philosophers came, like Huxley, and I think it was another Huxley. I think Aldous Huxley was a family of this Huxley. And Pranava said they admitted that it wasn't actually to get girls, to have illicit sex. Because if there's no God, if there's just matter, then you can have so much sex.
But they're not honest, that's not well.
Yeah, it's kind of ignorance is bliss, we all know this. So in the back of their mind they know, that's why we have to be careful when we preach to karmics, because they know it on a subtle level, on a superficial level, they kind of know it. They know they are bad. But they want to enjoy. That is what is explained here by the residents of Jambuvi. It's because of us, because of the desire of the so-called karmis that this material is there. So we try to induce them, better even maybe seduce them, to chant Krishna. And then we don't want to disturb them too much. Some people disturb them a little bit. That's why we go on Harinam. Sometimes people get a little bit disturbed. But we move, so it's only a short time. Don't try to generally stay in one place. It's part of Kali Yuga. You know, Kali Yuga is the darkest age, and people really want to get into the gross material enjoyment. But, you know, it's a Dharma book is there. So it's, well, there's a Kalara Dosha Nidhi, it's an ocean of faults. And then, how does it go? Mahatguna. Mahatguna, what is that Mahatguna, that great quality? Yagya Sankirtana, right? Is that, or the, is that another verse? That's it, right? Yeah. Anyway, but that's the point. That's the point. The Kali Yuga is an ocean of faults, but there is one good quality. That is this chanting of Hare Krishna. It's amazing. Savior of the most fallen. Stoker Krishna was saying that Sita Mahaprabhu actually came to liberate the sutras. Because we were just discussing it about the Sri, this son of Brahma, he is the beginning of Kali Yuga. It was degraded from the top down. The Brahmin's class got degraded. That's why the whole thing got messed up. It's the Mahārāja is coming for the most fallen. It's actually us, the Western people. Because Jesus and Muhammad, they actually preached in the Arab countries. You know, they didn't preach here. It was too fallen. We're not barbarians. We would have just chopped them up probably. But Siddhā Mahāprabhu, actually, Śrīla Prabhupāda, representative of Siddhā Mahāprabhu, he came here. So it's an amazing arrangement. We're very, very lucky. We're very, very lucky. You cannot imagine. I cannot imagine how lucky we are. But we are. So a few more days for Siddhā Mahāprabhu. Any other point? Do you know this Gorpani? Have you heard of Gorpani?
No.
You know this word, Gorpani?
No.
Gorpani means full moon, but it also means, Gor means golden. Gauranga. Anga means limb, you know. So Gauranga is the incarnation of Krishna. He appeared as Chaitanya Mahaprabhu in Navadvip, in Bengal, near Calcutta. And he's actually Lord Krishna. In fact, he's Lord Krishna in the mood of Radharani. You know Radharani, right? Radha. Radha Krishna, yes. So he's in the mood of Radha. Which, in spiritual world, the mood and the person is the same. So he's actually Radha Krishna. Sri Krishna Chaitanya, Radha Krishna Nahi Anya. Siddhartha Mahaprabhu is Radha and Krishna combined. So that we celebrate next Wednesday, right? Wednesday? So if you have the time, please come. Or any temple near you on Wednesday. It's going to be a big festival. There's a lot of kripa, a lot of mercy. So please come. And if you cannot come, then at least try to observe it in your home. I also quoted this book, Chaitanya Charitamrita. If you don't have it, please buy it or check it online. Use the website, Wikipedia or database.com. You can go there and you can just read it online, study it. Especially Wednesday, if you read something, if you cannot come to the temple, read something about Chaitanya, Chaitanya Charitamrita, if you remember this. Yeah, it's a very nice book. Okay, we'll stop there. Time for breakfast. Thank you very much. Śrīla Prabhupāda ki jai.